Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Irina Zuckerman. So moving from TV series to missiles to battlefields to something more subtle, which is the narratives and information. And increasingly, there are concerns that Iran is not just exporting an ideology across the Middle East, but in fact, bedding its messages deep inside Western countries, including somewhat unexpectedly, Italy. Irina Zuckerman is a human rights national security lawyer. She's based in the United States. She's been tracking Iran's global influence networks. Irina, thank you for joining us, as you always do. Let's start with the headline claim. How does a Western European democracy like Italy end up being described as a kind of a mouthpiece for Iran? What does that actually mean?
There are two simultaneous issues. One is that there are two ministers in the governing coalition in the Meloni's party who have had business ties with Iranian companies and government. So that alone made Italy far more reluctant to engage in any sort of serious anti-Iran pushback for a long time. We are seeing that finally start to change and shift with Meloni herself, but for a long time that has not been the case. The other issue is that Shia groups that are traditionally influenced by Iran are a tiny minority of the Muslim population in Italy. There is a number of Italian converts to Shia Islam, you know, former Italians, regular Italians who were of Catholic descent, who have converted to Shia Islam, who have been very active in spreading propaganda and creating soft power institutions that could be used as a model anywhere in the world and certainly in any Western democracy. Some of them have very different paths to how they came to become Shia, and many of them ultimately ended up studying in Iran-backed institutions. But it is an interesting phenomenon that there is this sort of intellectual, humanist, revolutionary appeal to regular people who had no previous connections to Islam. And in some cases, some of these guys probably are less interested in the spiritual aspect of the dogma as in revolutionary zeal. Some of these converts are already affiliated with far-left and far-right anti-NATO, anti-NATO, anti-American, anti-Western ideologies, and so they may perceive themselves as fellow travelers.
So the impact, how powerful has this campaign been in a place like Italy? Where do we see their success?
While they don't have the huge numbers, they do have a high visibility impact in the sense that they're publicly celebrating assorted martyrs from Lebanon and from Hezbollah in Iran. They've had public and private social media and campaigns and gatherings after Nasrallah's killing, and of course after the death of Ali Khamenei in Iran. So they are basically attracting sympathies, and they're fairly open about all of this, not hiding under a rock. So it means that they're hoping to inspire other followers with their revolutionary zeal, and they also probably feel a fair degree of confidence that there is some resonance to their rhetoric and their alignment with very extremely hateful and controversial figures known for massacring civilians in their own countries and around the Middle East, not to mention being anti-Semitic, anti-Western, anti-Israel, and so forth. But there is also a potential to appeal to some of the Sunni Muslims, some of the fundamentalist and revolutionary Islamists who, while they may have dogmatic differences with Khomeinis, on some level they share anti-American, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, and so forth sentiments. So this revolutionary and political zeal may have wider reach, even if some of the Sunni countries have been victimized by Iran, especially during the course of this escalation.
Are governments aware of this? And if so, are they actually doing anything about it?
I do believe there's been some degree of awareness, but because some of these organizations are affiliated with well-known political movements, like the controversial Five Star Movement in Italy, they may, for that reason, feel they have some degree of political immunity or at least protection. Again, in light of current escalation that could be changing, the Italian government is likely is more likely to start sanctioning known sympathizers of terrorist organizations and of Iran, and to start cracking down on these types of places. But up until recently, they have had their fellow travelers and ideological sympathizers in the fairly mainstream political parties.
As the very, very, very interesting, if this continues unchecked, if this isn't recognized and dealt with, what is likely to happen?
While it is not easy to proselytize among a largely Sunni and ideologically different population, Iran has been fairly successful at setting up similar institutions in various countries and attracting some converts. And it does not need huge masses of converts to do a great deal of political and ideological damage in sowing anti-Semitic and anti-American sentiments, spreading misogyny, abuses of sympathy for abuses of human rights, and essentially also trying to skew political discourse in favor of Iran in terms of this escalation, just the propaganda purpose of these talking points and portraying Iran as a victim of Western aggression, that ideological value, especially with, you know, radical left and radical right groups, is as valuable as the actual act of conversion on a religious level.
Very, very interesting. We do need to leave it there. Rina Zuckerman, thank you, as always, talking to us about what is happening in some parts of Europe, particularly Italy, which I certainly was unaware of. I guess that we can't know the nuance of every country, but it was nevertheless quite disturbing and interesting at the same time to watch what is happening.